Good morning. My name is Sharad, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the NBPE Investor Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. I would now like to turn the conference over to Peter Von Lehe. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you, and hello, everyone, and welcome to this special NBPE Investor Call. This is Peter Von Lehe, and I'm joined today by my colleagues John Boozer and Doug Maynor. As always, you can find the presentation we'll be using for our call today on our website, www.nbprivateequitypartners.com. So with that, turning to page 1 of the presentation, we are pleased to announce a series of strategic actions and portfolio developments that we believe will enhance value for NBPE shareholders. The first action we have taken is a strategic asset sale. NBPE has reached agreements in principle to sell its interest in 8 large-cap buyout funds at a narrow discount to NBPE's aggregate carrying value, generating approximately $102 million of proceeds net of estimated fees and expenses, and providing approximately $24 million of unfunded relief. We intend to use this capital for 2 key purposes, a capital return policy and a strategic portfolio repositioning. NBPE is implementing a new long-term capital management policy of ongoing returns of capital to holders of its ordinary shares. These ongoing returns of capital will be at the discretion of the company's directors. The capital return policy will be initiated immediately using a portion of the proceeds from the strategic asset sale, and beginning with the half-year period commencing in January of 2011, the company intends to return to shareholders 50% of the realized net increase in NAV attributable to the shares for the preceding 6-month period, and to continue to do so on a regular basis into the future. NBPE also expects to use a portion of the proceeds of the strategic asset sale to target a higher allocation to direct and yield-oriented investments. We expect the portfolio repositioning to reduce the duration of the company's portfolio, increase transparency for shareholders, reduce the overall expense ratio, and continue the company's policy of maintaining a conservative overcommitment level. Additionally, during September, NBPE's NAV per share increased by 1.2% to $9.63. The increase in NAV takes into account the strategic asset sale, the pending realization of a significant co-investment, along with certain other portfolio activities. We'd now like to go through each of these topics in a bit more detail. With the strategic asset sale, NBPE expects to sell a meaningful portion of its large-cap buyout fund portfolio at a narrow discount to our carrying value. NBPE has reached agreements in principle to sell its interest in these 8 large-cap buyout fund investments for an aggregate of a 5.1% discount to the company's carrying value at 31st of August. The strategic asset sale will generate cash proceeds of approximately $102 million net of fees and expenses, and will release NBPE from approximately $24 million of unfunded commitments. Including the fees and expenses, the strategic asset sale will be dilutive to NAV per share by approximately 13 cents, which we have already included in the September net asset value that we're releasing today. We believe the strategic asset sale demonstrates the high quality of the company's portfolio and the marketability of the company's portfolio on a secondary basis. The transaction provides an opportunity to take advantage of the attractive pricing in the secondary market, which continues to value NBPE's assets at significant premiums relative to the public market for NBPE shares. NBPE believes that when combined with accretive share repurchases, this transaction should enable the company to enhance its net asset value per share over time. NBPE intends to use the proceeds of the strategic asset sale, as described, to launch the ongoing capital return policy and for the strategic portfolio repositioning, which John will describe in a bit more detail. John?
Yeah, thank you, Peter. So if you're on page 3 of the deck, we'll have a little discussion of the capital return policy that we're implementing. The board of directors has determined to take this step in order to provide returns of capital to shareholders on an ongoing basis. This is a continuation of a less formal policy of capital return that we've taken in the past, such as the repurchase of 5.8% of the shares pursuant to the liquidity enhancement program. In addition, the focus on the enhancing shareholder value was also evidenced by our effort to make a dual listing of NBPE shares on the LSE and Euronext exchanges. This policy has been introduced as a long-term capital management feature and will operate on an ongoing basis until further notice, and it operates at the discretion of the Board of Directors. We've been able to adopt this policy because of the strong financial position that we've maintained with NBPE and because of our positive NAV development over the last year or so. Directors will have a discretion as to the manner in which the capital will be returned to the shareholders. However, at the current prevailing discount level, NBPE intends to use share repurchases as the most appropriate means of returning capital to the shareholders. This will increase the liquidity of the stock as well as enhancing the NBPE NAV per share, which the first 5.8% of the repurchases also enhanced our NAV per share. So the more mechanical points, we're going to begin this program of the capital return policy 50 of the capital return policy in two ways. One, we're going to use a portion of the proceeds from the sale of the interest that Peter just described of the eight large cap firms to enhance our liquidity enhancement program. But in addition, on an ongoing regular basis, beginning with the January 1st 6 month period, we are going to intend to return 50% of the realized net increase in NAV attributable to the shares for each 6 month period. As I mentioned, this can be obtained a number of ways, but that we could use share repurchases, dividends, or such other means as the directors consider most efficient at any point in time as we move forward to this ongoing capital return policy. Future returns of capital under the capital return policy will be announced by NBPE at the time of reporting its financial results for each respective six-month period. So the first occasion of this next announcement would be as we're reporting for the June 30th reports of next year. And the realized net increase in NAV will be measured by the Board of Directors from a starting point of 1st of January of next year. If you turn to page 4, we also, at the Board of Directors, have made a strategic move to reposition the investment portfolio to have a higher allocation to direct and yield-oriented investments. We believe that this strategic repositioning of the portfolio with a higher allocation of those sorts of investments will benefit the shareholders over the long term for a number of reasons, and these are laid out there on page 4 as you see. First, we'll reduce the duration of the portfolio. Second, we'll increase transparency of the portfolio because we'll have more direct and yield-oriented investments and fewer investments through funds. We'll reduce the overall expense ratio of the company because we will not be paying an underlying manager fees and carries on these direct and yield-oriented investments generally. And finally, we'll be able to continue to have a conservative overcommitment level by having more direct and yield-oriented investments in the portfolio, because those investments we can dial up and down the amount of exposure more easily than our rest of our portfolio. One of the good things about the platform that manages NBPE is that NB Alternatives is experienced in sourcing and completing such investments. We have approximately 50 investment professionals specializing in private equity fund investing, co-investing into transactions, whether they be direct equity investments or yield-oriented investments, and also secondary transactions. This entire 50-person team is sourcing and evaluating deals that NBPE participates in. Over the last five years, we've managed a $1.6 billion dedicated direct co-investment fund and closed more than 50 co-investments over the last 5 years. So NBPE is going to be able to take advantage of this broad platform of sourcing and closing transactions. If you flip on to page 5, Peter had mentioned earlier that consistent with having more co-investments, and just coincidentally, we have just realized or are about to realize on a large co-investment position in the portfolio. On October 6th, Dresser announces reached an agreement to be acquired by General Electric for $3 billion. Dresser is a leading global energy infrastructure company that is majority owned by funds managed by Riverstone Holdings and First Reserve, in which NB Alternatives entities, including NBPE, have meaningful direct co-investments. NBPE's ownership interest in Dresser is primarily from a direct co-investment that was made in NBPE alongside the lead sponsors in 2007. But we have additional exposures to the Dresser transaction as well, because NBPE holds a position in First Reserve Fund, and also there are positions through our Crossroads Fund 17 interest and Crossroads Fund 18 mid-cap buyout interest in Dresser. Prior to the announcement, across all these combined pockets that we had in Dresser, Dresser was the second largest company in NBPE's portfolio based on fair value. Based on the expected sale value during the September month in our unaudited NAV, we've increased the carrying value of Dresser by over 66%. That resulted in an accretion to NBPE's NAV by approximately 15 cents per share. This transaction is, of course, subject to customary closing conditions, including U.S. and European regulatory approval, and is expected to close promptly after that regulatory approval is received. So I'm going to turn it over to Doug, who's going to go through some of the financial numbers for September, including the impact of the strategic asset sale and the write-up of the Dresser position pending its sale.
Thank you, John. Turning over to slide six, you will see an update of NBPE's balance sheet and financial position as of September 2010. As Peter highlighted at the outset of the call, NBPE's NAV per share increased by 1.2% during the month of September, and we've shown two columns here. The first is NBPE's actual position at 9/30, and on a pro forma basis, and this is pro forma for realizing the proceeds of the strategic asset sale, the pending realization of Dresser, and then assuming that a portion of those proceeds are used to pay down the outstanding credit facility. In terms of bridging the net asset value development during the month, there were a number of increases in the portfolio. As Peter highlighted, the dilution related to the strategic asset sale was approximately 13 cents, including estimated fees and expenses, but that was offset by an increase in the valuation of Dresser based on the announced acquisition by GE of 15 cents per share. In addition, public securities increased by 5 cents per share, credit-related funds increased by 4 cents per share, foreign exchange adjustments provided an increase of 3 cents per share, and other expenses provided a 1 cent decline. So that bridges the gap in terms of how the NAV developed during the month of September. Highlighting the two columns, you can see that as of September, including all these changes, NBPE's portfolio value was approximately $570.9 million. On a pro forma basis, you'll see this number decline to $450 million, and that gives you a sense of the change in private equity investment level after these transactions from 116% to 91% on a pro forma basis. Highlighted at the bottom, NBPE's had a meaningful amount of investment and realization activity throughout the year, even prior to these announcements. Through the first 9 months of the year, NBPE had funded new investments of approximately $52 million and had received distributions and sale proceeds from the underlying portfolio of $40 million. And on a pro forma basis, including the proceeds of the strategic asset sale and the realization of Dresser, distributions and sale proceeds will increase to approximately $160 million from the portfolio. Turning over to slide seven, we'd like to provide investors with an update on NBPE's strong capital position. This is on a pro forma basis. As everyone is aware, NBPE had a very strong financial position prior to these announcements and had the highest commitment coverage level among the peer group. And this will give you a sense of the strong net cash position that NBPE will have following the transaction. So this is all shown on a pro forma basis. NBPE will have approximately $232 million of excess capital resources. That is comprised of $102 million of estimated cash and cash equivalents, $250 million from the full undrawn credit facility for total capital resources of $352 million, offset by the unfunded private equity commitments, which on a pro forma basis will decline to approximately $120.5 million. And importantly, as you saw on the previous page, pro forma for these transactions, NBPE's private equity investment level will decline to 91%, which we would then expect to increase over time as we strategically reposition the portfolio. And the overcommitment level will decline meaningfully to 116% of NAV. On slide 8, we've provided a graphical overview of how the diversification of the portfolio will shift on a pro forma basis. Once again, this is pro forma for realizing the proceeds from the strategic asset sale and the pending realization of Dresser. In terms of the eight large cap buyout funds that were monetized, that will decline the percentage of large cap buyout fund investments from 26% of the portfolio to approximately 8% of the portfolio. And that portfolio of eight funds had approximately 130 companies in the portfolio, and approximately 75 of which were unique to those investments. And approximately 25% of the portfolio was related to earlier vintage funds, approximately 75% related to more recent vintage year funds. And on the right side of the page, we've added a piece of the pie just to show kind of where cash would make up a portion of the portfolio, pulling it out of those assets that were on the left side of the page. So with that, I'll turn it back to John Boozer to conclude our presentation.
Yes, so if you turn to page 9, it really focuses on a summary of what we're announcing here today, all of which were actions undertaken by the board of directors to increase the shareholder value of the MBPE shares over the long term. First, as Peter discussed in detail, the strategic asset sale has allowed us to realize a meaningful portion of our large cap buyout portfolio at a value that is significantly higher than the value implied for that portfolio by the company's stock price. The capital return policy has been introduced as a long-term capital management feature and will operate on an ongoing basis until further notice of the discretion of the directors. And finally, MBPE expects to use the proceeds from the strategic asset sale to strategically reposition its portfolio to have a higher allocation to direct and yield-oriented investments. We think, as we talked about earlier, the insights that investors will be able to have from this repositioning of the portfolio should be beneficial to the analysis of our shares and therefore our share price. So with that, operator, if we could open it for any questions that the investors have.
At this time, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Again, that is star 1 if you have a question. We'll pause for just a moment. Your first question comes from Lois Margolis with Select Advisors.
Gentlemen, very interesting changes. It's a good direction. I'm certainly pleased. I did have one question. You made these large cap sales at 95% of the way you were carrying them. How does the price that you were carrying them relate to the way the prices you were getting from the underlying funds?
Yeah, thanks, Lou, for that question. As you know, we have always, maintained a conservative valuation policy. I mean, everyone always says they have a conservative valuation policy. I think it's fair to say, though, that the assets that we were holding, that we sold them, as you say, for 5.1% discount to where we were carrying them, relative to GP marks, the discount would be a bit wider than that, but not hugely so. We're not publishing that number as such at this point, but the discount to GP marks was a bit wider, but as I say, not hugely so.
You're going to try to build up a yield portfolio and a direct investment portfolio. Instead of taking some of this cash, as we've discussed before, and buying in some of the stock.
Lou, what we said is we're actually going to do two things with it. One, you're using a portion of the sales proceeds to go for the capital return policy, which is actually exactly that, buying back of stock, and also use a portion of it for the repositioning of the portfolio and making new investments and increasing the allocation for direct and yield-oriented investments. So the answer is we're going to be doing both things with the the proceeds, not just one or just the other. We're doing both.
At this point in the private equity market, what are the expected rates of returns of the types of things that you're looking at?
It varies, of course, relative to the risk on that transaction. For certain of the direct equity co-investments we'd be looking to do. We obviously have a higher expected return for a yield-oriented investment where you were buying a debt security and you're more senior in the capital structure. But we think that, and so, you know, we don't specifically give, you know, 1-point forecast for expected rates of return, but definitely those are at rates that we think are very attractive and attractive for shareholders. And, you know, I think as part of this policy here, I think it's one of those things where we're making, I think, a strong statement that we are returning capital to shareholders. We are going to be doing share repurchases, and not just doing that short term, but very consistently as NAV the company grows, go and prospectively continue to return capital to shareholders, but then at the same time use a portion of the proceeds for those attractive new investments that we're seeing, because we are seeing a large number of very attractive new investments in the marketplace today, and we think it's in the best interest of shareholders for us to take advantage of those as well as engaging in the capital return policy as well.
You know, we hear how low interest rates are and how, I guess, the banks are willing or unwilling to lend. I don't know exactly where these markets are. But in the fixed income stuff that you're looking at typically has what kind of a coupon associated with it?
Example of the most recent debt investment that we bought, we actually disclosed in our last report, that was a piece of second lien debt that was paying LIBOR plus 1,000 with a 200 basis point LIBOR floor. That security was sold at 97 cents and actually was, we think, in a relatively senior place in the capital structure. So we thought that was a good investment relative to the risk associated with that particular transaction.
And the LIBOR floor was what?
Was 2%.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, thank you very much, and I'm glad to see you're going in this direction.
Thank you, Lou.
Your next question comes from Nathan Ganther with EXOP.
Thank you. I would echo Lou that I think the if I understand what you're doing is really a good directionally. Somebody made the comment that buying this is sort of a nit, but somebody made the comment that buying back shares will increase liquidity. As one of the obviously. You're buying back stock and increase the net asset value because we're buying it at a 30% discount or whatever the number is. But why do you say it would increase liquidity? I think it would decrease liquidity. I'm for doing it, but I just don't understand that.
More specifically, and I may have slightly misspoke, it's really referring to, it's in the short run, as we make those shares, it's going to increase the volume of action in the marketplace, and we think help the share price in that respect. By having more transactions in the marketplace.
Okay, so, generally the strategic, can I just state something? Tell me if I might. I mean, the strategic sell at a slight discount, it was done because you just, two reasons as I listen. One is that you just think there's better alternative uses of the money than staying with that $100-something million worth of private equity, more specifically the yield-oriented stuff you're talking about, and direct investments. That's one reason. Is that a correct summary?
It's that and the ability to return capital to shareholders.
That I understand. That's the other reason. But on the first one is just because you're able to realize, even though you're selling at a discount of a portfolio you like, you ask why, and you just think that using that money is a much better alternative for the other two reasons, plus returning shareholders. That I understand. Is that fair?
Yes.
You think the yield
and the
direct investments are more opportunistic during looking forward than these sort of older portfolios or even newer portfolios?
Yes, we think that it's a better use of shareholder capital to use the capital for the two things we're describing than for just holding the assets. Absolutely.
Anyway, I say thank you to the board for looking for ways to realize value through this heavy discount that we are facing at DBE.
Thank you.
Thank you for your support.
Your next question comes from Ian Troller with Oriel Securities.
Good morning, it's Ian Schooler here. In terms of the investments that you decided to sell, I mean, how did you select those, or did you have a number of approaches? And the other thing is, on the direct investments, I mean, what's the target number of directs? What does the pipeline look like? What sort of percentage of assets would you like in directs going forward?
Sure. So how do we select those? We focus very much on the large cap portfolio as the portion of the portfolio into conduct a sales process on. And so that was something we focused on. That was for a couple of reasons. One, for the reason that the gentleman before you described, in terms of just our belief that that was the best portion of the portfolio to sell and to go and redeploy the capital in other ways. Also, just had the added benefit in that those sorts of assets are ones that are relatively efficient for selling in the secondary market without needing to provide a large amount of information. I think the other assets in our portfolio are also very good, and we think we get very high prices in the secondary market. But they're ones large cap funds are just ones that are easier to do on a confidential basis. Which obviously being a public company, confidentiality was something that was important for NBPE. In terms then in terms of the target for the new investments, we've very much look to have a higher allocation to both direct and yield oriented investments, and our pipeline is very rich in both of those areas. Our co-investment team is incredibly busy right now, and we're continuing to look at very interesting transactions, seeing very interesting transactions. What we will not do, though, is actually make any investment just to fill an allocation. So we're not going to say the allocation will be X, and so we're going to make sure we make investments to fill that. Frankly, if the transactions that we think are interesting in the pipeline we end up finding are not as attractive as we thought, or don't come to fruition, then we won't deploy the capital in that way. So we're not actually setting a specific number at this point here, but we're giving a strong indication that we'll be increasing the allocations of those sorts of investments, but we will only be doing them if we actually think that the investments are of high quality and generate the appropriate levels of return for our shareholders.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Henry Freeman with Liberum Capital.
Yeah, good to see a decent result on in terms of the discount to carrying value. Obviously, there's a lot of people have been talking about secondary LP investments and those valuations. So nice to see it was a pretty minimal discount and shows the huge discrepancy between where listed private equity, I suppose, trades. My question is, how much more do you see coming out from your existing LP funds? And was it one buyer that took all of the positions that you sold?
It was a series of buyers. As we mentioned, we utilized UBS as our advisor. They went out to more than 20 buyers, and with this portfolio of assets, we sold each asset to the buyer that would maximize value for NBPE for that particular asset. And so it was sold to a series of buyers. I think it'd be fair to say that for the time being, we don't anticipate doing another sale like this, in the short term. Having said that, our goal is to maximize value for shareholders, and so every asset in our portfolio is for sale to anyone for the right price at any time. So, if there's someone that would like to go and offer us a very high price for any of our assets, we are always happy to entertain that. So, if you know of anyone that would like to bid highly, please send them our way. Yeah, focused on maximizing value for shareholders.
Good stuff. In terms of repositioning, at what point do you cease to become NB private equity and start becoming NB high yield credit, or
We'll remain NB private equity, just to be clear. And we're not looking to become a high yield fund by any means. We're very much planning on remaining a private equity vehicle and having a private equity focus. However, we do think that having certain yield oriented investments make absolute sense inside of a vehicle such as MBPE if they can be found to generate an appropriate rate of return. But we do plan on remaining a private equity vehicle.
Okay, will you be co-investing in deals bought by MB Distressed Debt, your new debt fund?
That's very much a possibility. That's something, obviously, we know that team well. Obviously, being part of the same firm, they're a great team, great people, and we would welcome the opportunity to invest alongside them in a transaction. We have not to date, but obviously, we have discussions with our colleagues who run that fund regularly about whether there are appropriate opportunities for us to do so.
Okay, great. Many thanks for that.
Thank you.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Again, that is star 1 if you have a question. And at this time, there are no further questions.
Okay, well, on behalf of Peter and Doug and myself, thanks to everybody for participating in this call, and we appreciate the feedback we were able to get immediately. And as always, we're open to calls from any investor with any comments and questions that they have, and be happy to field those. So again, thank you very much.
Thank you for participating in today's conference call. You may now disconnect.
Thank you.